We're here today with Jeff Larson, ProPublica reporter, who for the past many months has been working on some of the documents disclosed by Edward Snowden to the Guardian of England. Welcome, Jeff.
Hey, Steve.
Your latest story is really quite a fascinating one, and I'd like to get right into it. It's a story about how it appears that both British and American intelligence, that would be the NSA and Britain's GCHQ, are keeping an eye on people as they play games like Angry Birds. Why would they do this?
Angry Birds is a leaky app, and what that means is that the ads that run in the free version of Angry Birds contain personally identifiable information, like your age, your sex, your political leanings, your sexual orientation. And in 2012, analysts at GCHQ went through the data that was transmitted by the ads in Angry Birds and analyzed them for intelligence value.
Well, let's just back up a sec here, Jeff, because that seems like we got to break that down for our listeners. Now, I've got my phone, I'm playing Angry Birds, and I understand it's a fun game, and somebody like yourself, we should point out to our listeners that Jeff is our data editor, also a very talented computer coder. So somebody like yourself with a real skill at coding has created this game, and I get to play it for free because they show me ads. That's the idea, right?
That's basically the idea, yeah.
So it isn't really for free. I got to watch the ads. Now, the thing about ads is they do on the internet kind of gather information about my interests. So why don't you explain a little bit about how that would happen? I'm playing the game and suddenly an ad pops up. How does that help somebody find out about like what magazines I read or how old I am? How does that come to be?
Sure. So the most egregious company in this case in terms of the data that they had access to or claimed to have access to was Millennial Media. And the way in which Millennial Media creates profiles about consumers is two ways. One, they buy a lot of data. So they'll buy information about people. And then they'll try and link that to their phone. And so they do it a number of ways. Sometimes they analyze your web shopping habits. Sometimes they analyze your web browsing, the apps you play, you know, the things you've surfed for, what news sites you visit. And the way they get all of this data is that the ads that run on your phone also can run on the web. And so they track you via a unique identifier that is on your phone while you go around the web.
So in other words, once I play one of these games, I've kind of put like a sticky thing in myself as I then surf from site to site.
Exactly, exactly.
And that sticky thing kind of has a little tag. I might play Angry Birds right now, but then I might go to, I don't know, the personal section of some website.
Right, exactly, exactly.
And then I might go check out a site about basketball games or hunting.
Right.
And from each of those sticky things, which can be read, then you kind of know what I'm interested in.
Right. And you can imagine for the intelligence agency piggybacking on all of this knowledge that the advertisers have amassed would be useful or would at least seem useful for intelligence agencies if they're trying to track targets.
One thing that sort of baffled me a little bit about this, I was trying to close my eyes. You know, you sit on public transit anywhere in New York or in the United States. Seems like everybody's playing Angry Birds. My kids play it. I was trying to close my eyes and imagine how many Angry Bird games a minute are going on the entire planet. And it seems like a lot. Are they scooping up all of that?
You know, it's clear from the documents that as this advertising traffic travels through the international networks that they're looking at everything. Now, both intelligence agencies told us that they're not actually scooping it up, that they only keep things for valid intelligence targets. And again, we have to clarify a point here, which is in the Angry Birds case, it was a study by GCHQ done in 2012. We know that one of the ad networks, Google's ad network, they are using for some sort of analysis. But the other four ad networks, it was, like I said, an analyst saying, hey, we can get all of this information from these four other ad networks that run in Angry Birds. Now, you know, I have a couple theories. I think, you know, they were looking at it because it's wildly popular. Jay Carney, when asked yesterday, who's the White House press secretary, when asked yesterday about Angry Birds, kind of laughed a little. But I don't know whether or not they're specifically targeting Angry Birds or these advertising networks. I would guess the latter.
Well, let me just look at the question a little bit different way for a sec, Jeff. You have the NSA trying to sort of access information that private companies, advertisers, have amassed already about all of us. So why are we saying that the government's Big Brother? Aren't these companies Big Brother?
I think so. I think there's two angles into this story. One is something that we've been covering for a long time. Lois Beckett has certainly looked into this a lot. And there was a great Wall Street Journal report called What They Know a few years back about how advertisers are able to create these profiles essentially of everyone. So it's not only is it the advertisers who are creating these profiles, but again, right, you know, can't stress enough, it's the intelligence agencies that are piggybacking on it. I think
right.
That's
in essence, the NSA is trying to catch up with Google's ad networks.
Exactly. In Google's case, Google is actually really interesting because they're not only doing it for advertising networks, but they actually, in 2007 and 2008, both intelligence agencies had programs to scoop up Google Maps data, which in some ways is more sensitive, which tells you down to the yard where a particular phone is.
Now, one of the things we've seen in these documents is sometimes these documents are actually sales documents. They're kind of selling internally people on programs and saying how well things worked. Have you seen any evidence in the documents that this particular technique has actually scored any successes in the world of intelligence?
They ran this experiment, which was a brute force experiment over a tiny sliver of their cell phone data.
Now you should explain to our listeners what brute force means in an agency like the NSA.
Yeah, brute force basically essentially means that they set up 120 computers to process this data for many, many, many hours looking for something of intelligence value. And what they found via this brute force analysis, in the NSA's data, they found about 9 million people. In GCHQ, which again is the British agency's case, they found 25 million people. They called them actors, and the way we interpreted that, which I think is correct, is that they were people of interest. So this isn't the sum total of their data, and that seems like a shocking amount. Now, the problem with that experiment was that they said it wasn't necessarily straightforward, and there was no mention of any intelligence leads that came out of that brute force analysis.
Now, one thing, though, that sort of puzzling from those numbers, which you quote in your story with the New York Times and the Guardian having its version as well, one of the things that puzzled me a little bit was you would think that the GCHQ number, 25 million, that feels like that's about a third or a half of the population of Britain. Why is their number so large?
We don't know. Both agencies said to us that they only capture data from people who are explicitly targeted, but this number seems too big. It seems... I can't understand that there would be more than 30 million terrorists or targets in the world.
Seems like a lot of terrorists.
Yeah.
Given their output.
But I do want to point out that when they start from something that resembles more of an intelligence lead, they have had some successes. So they did catch some cartel hit squad members who assassinated an American consulate employee in Mexico a few years back. And that seemed to start with an intelligence lead, and they were able to query their databases and pick up those cartel members.
Now, when you say query the databases, you mean through a sort of picking up information from leaky apps? Is that
in the document, it was just phone data. So we don't know specifically if it was leaky apps. They have this term called pattern of life, and they were able to come up with a pattern of life. And the way they use that term is we know this guy visits this website, we know this guy moves around, we know this guy meets with these other people.
Jeff, as our readers and listeners know, we always contact the intelligence agencies for comment before a story comes out. In this case, did NSA or GCHQ have anything to say?
Yeah, and the NSA came back and told us that they don't include American data in their collection. If there is American data in their collection, it's incidentally collected, so it's not specifically there, or they have some reason to have it in there. And GCHQ essentially told us the same thing.
So, bottom line, should anybody who is sitting, you know, at a computer or working on a cell phone at this point have any expectation of privacy, the way things work? Or is it, as Edward Snowden himself put it, I think, rather well, that the internet is a television that watches you?
I think in terms of cell phones, the documents, of which we looked at hundreds, paint a picture that for cell phones, there are these magical sensor-rich devices that give them lots and lots of information. As a data point for that, in 2007, when the first iPhone came out, the NSA raised its budget to over $700 million to deal with cell phones. So it's something that the intelligence agencies are very, very interested in and really, really think they have high intelligence value. In the other case for advertisers, I think the maker of the second leading cell phone platform is Google. Google makes Android, and Google's model is advertising and crunching big data. So I think there's a long hill to climb in terms of privacy and things on cell phones.
Jeff Larson, thanks very much for being with us today. I suspect we'll be talking about the NSA and privacy and phones and the internet again before the year is out.
Thank you, Steve.